My prayer is that these true words, the words of Jesus, red letter words, would come true for you this morning and come afresh for you this morning. To start off, I feel prompted to state and put right a potential lie that a lot of humans believe. It's a potential lie that Christians, non-Christians, we believe. And this is, I just want to put right. No one can earn their way into heaven through being a good person. No one can earn their way into heaven through being a good person. I think I'm a pretty good person, but you know, I do a lot of mistakes and I get things muddled up and whatever. And ask anyone who comes to our church and they could tell you some mistakes, you know. But don't dwell on that too much, okay? My point being is, I try and make mistakes, yeah, and I try and be a good person. But I am not going to get to heaven because I'm a good person. Because I'm nice to people or kind to people and do more good than I do probably not so good. No one is going to get to heaven, eternity, because you're a good person. You know, in Romans 3, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in Ephesians, it backs it up and it says this, eternal life, the after death of this life that we live, eternal life is a free gift. Eternal life is a free gift, not by works so that no one can boast. It's only through Jesus that we can be made right with God. Hear that this morning. It's only through Jesus that we can be made right with God. It is only through Jesus and what he did on the cross that we can be made right with God. You know, Jesus was a good, you know, obviously Jesus, the Son of God. When he was living, he was a good man. In Acts 10, it says, he went around doing good. He was actually known as a result. His reputation grew as being a healer. He loved people. The sick came to him. The blind came to him because they wanted to see. The lame because they wanted to walk. Jesus actually was a good man. He was a good man. And he loved people. He healed people. But I can tell you this, if that's where it ended, it wasn't enough. If that's where it ended, if Jesus graced the earth and he didn't die on the cross, it would not be enough. It would not be enough. All that healing, the good deeds was a display of his love, but God's love wasn't complete without the cross. The cross was the ultimate display of God's love. And it's what allows sinners like me, and sinners like you to be assured of our eternal destiny. And what Jesus did on the cross was the ultimate love story that has ever been told and ever will be told. And you know, my prayers, often I pray, Lord, I pray that John 3:16 will never just be something we just rattle off. But John 3:16 would be something that deeply impacts us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whomsoever shall believe in him, not perish, and have eternal life. Who likes movies? Just raise your hand. Who likes watching some movies, okay? Who likes, now I want you to be honest, we are in church, okay? So, you know, do we not hear those tinks, you know, there's one of those, and we don't want to hear any of that. Who actually watches or has watched some romantic movies in the time? Okay, raise hands. Well, there's a couple of guys that haven't, yep, okay. I'm sure they have, their wives are nudging me. Yes, you have. I want you to think about the greatest love story movies that you've heard of. Now, you younger generation, you may not have heard of these movies, but part of your homework over this weekend is you want to go and watch some love story movies, okay? Who, and now I want you to raise hands. I want you to raise hands. Who's ever watched these movies? And I've just, these are just some movies that I've watched. So I just thought, you know, okay. Who's ever watched Titanic? Oh, okay. Thanks, guys. You're killing me at the back there. Yeah, that's great. Okay, that's probably a sin as well, but never mind. Okay. Who's ever watched The Notebook? I haven't watched that one either, but who's ever watched When Harry Meets Sally? Yeah, it's a good one. There's no drink for that one. Who's watched Casablanca? Okay, anyone over 50's probably watched that. Gone with the Wind. These guys are like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Sleepless in Seattle. Yeah. Who's ever watched Pretty Woman? Yes. Oh, look at all these. Oh, man, all you romantics. Who watched 10 Things I Hate About You? Hey, that's a good one. That's a good one. And maybe it's a bit controversial. Who's watched Dirty Dancing? Okay. Put your hands down. Tink, come on. Okay. Come on, where is it when it's appropriate? Okay. My point is, the greatest love stories ever told always have someone professing their love for a particular person or individual. The greatest love stories always have someone taking the initiative to go and say, I love you, and then acting in a way that shows that. I want to tell you about the second greatest love story that's ever been told. The second greatest love story. And some of you may have heard this before, but bear with me. The second greatest love story ever been told is when I started dating my lovely wife, Lauren. I can remember straight away, you know how sometimes like some people like jump in the deep end when it comes to love and some people walk through the baby pool and eventually get there? Well, I'm jumping the deep end, Lauren's in the baby pool, okay? So that's how it works. So we get there and after, like, I could have told her I loved her straight away. And so I thought, I'll just wait a little while. I waited about 6 or 8 weeks, okay? I thought, I'll wait about 6 or 8 weeks. And then eventually it just got the better of me and I just turned around to her one time and said, I love you. And you know what? She looked me in the eye and she said, thanks. And you know, in most love stories, there's always that awkward moment. You know, in those sort of romantic comedies, where there's always that awkward moment. And so I thought, you know what? Maybe she didn't hear me the first time. Maybe she didn't hear me. You know, I said, I love you. So I thought, you know, after about, you know, half an hour later, I said to her, look, I love you, Lauren. And she looked me in the eye and she said something I never want to hear again. Thanks. She said, thanks. And you know, probably a couple of months later, she turned to me and without me saying it, she just said this, I love you too. The greatest love stories ever been told always have someone who initiates the love, who shows them that they are loved, and then they wait for a response. I want to tell you this morning. God has already said He loves you. God has already said He loves you. God has already said He loves you, and He has done that through His Son, Jesus. And He is waiting for a response. He's waiting for a response. God has already said He loves you. He's just waiting for a response and for us to say, I love you too. I love you too. I want to unpack this passage. I'm going to tell you a story and then you're going to have a great Easter. It says in the passage, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those that will believe in me through their message. When Jesus was saying this, He was talking about you and me, believers who would believe in Him through the message of the disciples that have been passed down for generation to generation over a couple of thousand years. He was talking about you and me, the believers, okay? You were included in the greatest love story over 2,000 years ago because God knew, the creator of the world, He knew that one day you would exist and you would be born and that He was willing to die on the cross for your sins. We get to verse 23 And it says, I in them and you in me, may that they be brought to the complete unity. And this, my prayer is this absolutely blows your mind. This absolute, and this is truth, it's scripture. I'm not fabricating this, it's from the word of God. And it says this, I in them, this is Jesus saying, I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Hang on a second, what's Jesus saying there? He's saying, you have sent me and love them. He's talking about you and I. Jesus saying, I pray that they would know God loves them even as you have loved me. Jesus is stating in this particular passage, his great prayer, his great desire is that you and I would know that God loves you and I just as much as his son. Whoa. God loves you and I just as much as his son. God loves you and I just as much as his son. It says that they who sent me have loved them even as you have loved me, even as you have loved me, that they would know. This morning, I want to tell you this. God loves you just as much as he loves his son. And let's back it up with some scripture. In John 1, 12, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Because you loved them before the beginning of time. And then it gets into verse 26. It gets into verse 26, and we see here what I was mentioning before, that Jesus' job was not complete. Jesus' job of being a good person and letting God's love shine through him, his glory through him, it wasn't complete yet. There was still the greatest thing that had to happen for Jesus to die on the cross. We get this in verse 26. It says this, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known. There it is. I have made you known. So what Jesus had done thus far was making God known to humanity. But then it says, and will continue. And will continue to make you known. Jesus realized he hadn't finished yet. He hadn't finished. The ultimate display of love hasn't occurred. And why does he do it? Why does he go to the cross? It says this, that you may know in order that the love you have for me may be in them. The love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. So when Jesus was lying on the cross, he was there to make his love known once and for all. When Jesus was lying on the cross, he made a conscious decision to make his love known to everyone, to the world, to make his love complete. Greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. And God demonstrates his love for us that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to share you a story and we'll conclude. You know, the late Archbishop of Paris tells a true story in a paper, I think in 2015. He tells a true story. And it was about some young teenage boys causing havoc, and that doesn't happen, does it? You know, young guys causing havoc, or young guys causing havoc, that doesn't happen, does it, these days? Nah, that's right. Yeah, good youth pastor, yeah, that's right, they don't cause havoc. And these particular people, there was a young boy called Aaron in this group, and Aaron thought it would be funny with his friends to go and go to the Catholic Church and make up the worst sins, the worst wrongdoings, the baddest things he could ever think of, you know, to freak out the priest and to see what would happen, see if they get chucked out. You can only imagine they'd just be coming up the worst stories they could think of. And mind you, a sin's a sin. But anyway, so he gets in there and he goes into the confessional, and I think the priest maybe knew what was something up. But what would have you done if someone had done that? You would have, oh no, we don't do that these days. Okay, we don't do that, yeah. Unless you're my father. Okay, yeah, yeah. And then he gets his belt out. But anyway, So what would you do? What would you do if you're the priest and this young guy, he's sort of making a mockery? He's making a mockery of what Jesus has done. He's making up all these stories about all these crazy sins that he hasn't committed. He's making a mockery. He allows Aaron to finish. He allows Aaron to finish. And as a wise priest says, he says to him, just do one thing for me before you leave. Just do one thing before you leave. I want you to go to the front of the church. In the Catholic Church, you obviously have the cross and then Jesus on the cross. He says, I want you to go to the front of the church and I want you to yell out in a loud voice. I want you to yell out, Jesus, I know you died for me, but I don't give a damn. So the boy said, oh, that's easy. I'll show this priest. So he walks to the front of the church. He looks up at the cross and he says, Jesus, I know you died for me, but I don't give a damn. And then he says it again. He says, Jesus, I know you died for me, but I don't give a damn. And the third time, he says, Jesus, I know you died for me, and overcome with a conviction, knowing that there was no sin unforgivable. He had told him the worst sins he could have ever occurred or imagined about. He was overcome with the realization that what Jesus had done was for him. He realized that 12 months later, Aaron was baptized and became the Archbishop of Paris. The Archbishop was telling his part of his testimony, his story. When he was a young boy, he knew about the greatest love story, but he never claimed it for his own. There's some of us today that just need to claim the story for themselves. And maybe, yeah, it seems pretty crazy and out there, but reality is it will change your life. Some of us need to claim this story for the first time ever. That Jesus died on the cross for your sins, because you're never going to be good enough to go to heaven. But for what Jesus has done, you can be made right with God. Your sins are forgiven. And for some of us, we need to renew this story for us again. This story needs to come alive again for us. The realization, not just going through the motions, the realization that Jesus died for you and it should change everything. And into an appreciation of what he's doing and what are you going to do with that? You know, the Salvation Army don't often have communion and, you know, the sacraments. You know, General Albert Osborne once wrote a song, "My life shall be Christ's broken bread. My love, his outpoured wine." What he was saying here is today, I want to, he was stressing that we have to live this truth in our day-to-day lives. We have to actually be Jesus' hands and feet in our day-to-day life. But I thought it today appropriate to ask you for a response. You know, the Last Supper communion over here at the front, and we're going to have some people at the back as well. We're going to hold some bread and some grape juice. It's not wine, so don't worry too much. Any of those want wine, you can have that later. And the bread represents Jesus' body. And the blood was the blood spilled for everyone's sin. The Lamb of God who was slain for you and I. And simply by just taking this, it's a response. It's an outward expression of an inward journey or desire that's going on. And just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for what it's done. If you're thinking about this for the first time, I want to challenge you on you. At least do your homework. At least know who Jesus is. Don't make a decision about the church or the Christian faith based on example, even though we try hard. But you know what? We will make mistakes. Make a decision based on Jesus. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find out who he is and what's this guy and do I want to get to know him and whatnot. But this morning, I want to ask you for a response. Jesus has already said he loves you and he's wanting you to respond, a refresh, a renew, or for the first time, and simply dip it in, put it in your mouth and say thank you. We're going to have some music and just time to reflect of the enormity of what Jesus has done. But I pray this, you would know that you are loved. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And some of us who know this story, need to be reminded again. And some of us for the first time need to embrace it. It'll change your life. The faith is not about all the things you don't do. Actually, the faith is actually brings you to life and gives you a lot of things you can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as the song plays, my prayer is that you would partake in this as a response and be part of the greatest love story that has ever been told. Thanks, guys.